Hi, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe.
And I'm Simon Smart.
Well, we're going to take a walk on the, well, not wild side, but the dark side today. This Life and Faith, we're talking about what's been called new dark drama. TV shows that on the whole have quite a bleak view of the world. You know, you can't trust anyone. People are always exploiting events for their own gain. Human nature at base is ugly and irredeemable. And we can see this going on from everything from Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Netflix's Daredevil, House of Cards, The Wire, True Detective, need I go on. These shows are full of characters who are flawed, broken, cynical, corrupt. And often these are the good guys, actually. So, Simon, I know you've been sucked into the vortex of House of Cards. You know, surely you've got thoughts about why there's so little lightness on TV. You know, are we living in a time of widespread loss of trust, and so that gets reflected in our screens? What's the appeal of House of Cards?
Well, it's absolutely brilliantly made. I think some of the best quality television is in line with the sort of flavour that you've been describing. So some of those shows you listed, I think House of Cards is one of those. It wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea. It's pretty hardcore, I have to say. But it is a bit like a car crash. You can't, you know, avert your eyes. The story is about Frank Underwood, who begins the series. He's the Democratic House Majority Whip on this sort of campaign, political campaign, of really ruthless ambition and revenge. And he's climbing the political ladder, aided by his wife, who's played by Robin Wright, played brilliantly. And together, they are on this sort of journey towards extreme political power. But along the way, it's just absolutely breathtaking the way they use people for their own purposes, utterly ruthless, and everyone in their life serves a purpose for their own gain. So it's kind of awful, awful characters. Another aspect of this is that he often turns to the camera and delivers a soliloquy that almost draws you in. You almost feel like you're implicated
in the whole thing.
You're part of this evil plot.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. One heartbeat away from the presidency, not a single vote cast in my name. Democracy is so overrated. Let's start this new chapter with a clean slate.
I know you'll do whatever you think is best. The connections are troubling, especially Underwood.
So this goes all the way to the White House?
It might.
I need you to delete all of our phone history.
Do you want me to just walk away? Act as if I don't know anything?
Hit him again, and hit him now.
He's a dangerous man.
I want him obliterated.
More than that, let's make him suffer.
I don't know whether to be proud or terrified. I won't submit myself to this sort of exposure again.
Hello?
Am I really the sort of enemy you want to make? Can you blame me if I find it difficult to trust you right now?
You are out of line, Frank.
There is but one rule. Hunt or be hunted. Welcome back.
That was the trailer for House of Cards. Now, Simon, you've described Kevin Spacey's character, Frank Underwood, as the devil, or at least, you know, the Satan figure of Milton's Paradise Lost, given that both of them are all about manipulating events for their own advantage. But then people have often said that Satan in Milton's Paradise Lost is actually the more interesting character, let's say, of the bunch. So is there a fascination with the dark side of people at work here? You know, are we captivated by evil?
Yeah, maybe. Certainly very colourful characters, very compelling in their Machiavellian ways, if you like. The thing that's interesting is that the dark TV gives us no illusions about people. There's none of this sort of, you know, people are fundamentally good stuff that we get from time to time today. We get evidence all the time that people are messed up. And I think this rings true with people's experiences of real life. So in that sense, it's probably quite realistic, even if it's a bit horrifying.
So would you go far as to say that we are all anti-heroes then? Or at least potentially? You an anti-hero?
Good and evil are part of the human experience, and perhaps even the contest within ourselves for that. Interestingly, the Christian view is that all people are in need of redemption, and you certainly get that from these programs.
Well, some have also said that, you know, there's this looming sense of economic crisis or environmental destruction, or that this, you know, there's this growing gap between rich and poor, distant wars and so on. Maybe that's also reflected in the darkness that we see on our TV.
Well, you could say at least this, that the spirit of the times is at some levels one of skepticism, maybe even despair. And maybe it's this lack of meaning that explains our attraction to some of the darkness that's present on our screens. There's this book by a scholar called Victor Brombert. It's called In Praise of Antiheroes. And he talks about the loss of the classical hero, which I think is true. You're seeing this in this type of movement into these sorts of shows. So even when I was young, for instance, you know, there were very clear narratives in both literature and television film where you had clear goodies and clear baddies. Things are much more complex now in the sorts of characters we're getting presented with. And I think that's good in a way. I mean, it's much more like real life. But I'm interested in this lack of the classical hero. I don't think it means, and certainly Bromberg would say this, that we're necessarily doomed to some sort of cynicism. He reckons that there's an absence can be a form of a presence. And so perhaps this grim state of affairs that we're seeing in all these characters on the screens doesn't so much mean that we're just drowning in all this despair, but it might be a way in which we're expressing a longing, and that longing for a sense of redemption, salvation, maybe even a sense of that longing for God.
I do think it is a fine line to tread. You know, you've mentioned how we're not just simply wallowing in our despair, but I can't help feeling that sometimes TV does sort of, you know, go too far into the dark side, if I can put it in those terms. Like, I remember watching True Detective, and what frustrated me about that show is that it hits all these cliched beats. You know, it's got ritualistic murder, it's got this conspiracy of silence that goes all the way to the top of the establishment. You've got this really creepy villain who turns out to be surprisingly articulate as well. So it really just felt like X-Files on steroids.
Yeah, well, there's a saying that if you gaze long enough into the abyss, it will, you know, stare back at you. Everything has the potential of forming us into one kind of person or another. So it makes sense to surround yourselves with stories, films, books, and other influences that are in some way going to grow you into the kind of person you'd want to be and not some other kind. So, yeah, I reckon we should be watching Walter Mitty now and then and that type of thing. It was very sort of uplifting in a way that a lot of the shows we've been talking about today certainly do not. But maybe there's also the genius of that Frank Underwood character in House of Cards, for example, that some people, I suppose, could be taking notes on how to be like him. But I think, in all honesty, I think the way the story's told, that the expectation would be most people would be looking at, you know, warnings of how not to be like this awful character.
Which kind of does lead us into the second part of what we're going to talk about. But if you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith, and we're talking about dark TV. The fact that the best TV dramas on our screens are often filled with grim scenes of violence, corruption, and the worst aspects, I suppose, of human nature. I do wonder if these shows offer ways for us to test drive our moral claims about the world. Because it's almost taboo today to venture that, you know, some things are right and some things are wrong. It seems a strange set of affairs that we've arrived at this point. But because we don't want to be able to make such definitive claims, we like to settle for the more tolerant, we hope, and the peacekeeping option of just simply don't judge.
Yeah, there's a sort of strong current, isn't there, in our society where it's okay to do whatever you like, but don't judge anyone else's choices, because being judgmental of someone else is sort of the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, but I've been watching Breaking Bad, and you know that show's been out for a number of years now, and it's finished. But you know how it goes. There's this ordinary high school teacher receives a diagnosis of cancer that's going to kill him sooner rather than later. So he thinks, I've got nothing to leave for my family. And he decides, as you do, to start cooking meth, basically. So he forms a partnership with one of his ex-students who's a drug dealer. And it goes as you might expect. It goes from bad to worse. They just simply start sinking further into the situation that they've found themselves in. So even if it's not politically correct to judge today, the show practically dares you not to judge what Walter and Jesse get up to.
Right, I haven't seen Breaking Bad. I don't know if you'd recommend that I do look at that. But what you say might be the creator's intention. But does that mean that people necessarily get the message. Like, for instance, is it possible to come away from the show and really disliking the character of the wife for not appreciating all that Walt has done for his family?
That actually has been the case. People have decided to hate on the wife and the actress who plays her, Anna Gunn.
Oh dear.
And they start to think that, you know, she's just being completely ungrateful. Walt is doing so much to provide for you. You should just sit there and like it. But I think it's good that we expose those kinds of moral claims, because at least we get to see that people do come away with that sort of assessment of the situation, and we can discuss, well, why do you think that? You know, is it true that the ends always justify the means? And you see this particularly in a scene from Breaking Bad. Now, just to set it up, Jesse, who's the partner in crime of Walter, the guy who's cooking meth, he's at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting after he's happened to kill a man, but he doesn't admit to having killed a man in this meeting. He admits to having killed a dog. Let's have a listen.
Putting ourselves on trial, acting as our own judge, jury, and executioner, it's not the answer. Because a lot of the time, all that judging does is just ensure that we're going to repeat the cycle.
We're not here to sit in judgment.
Why not? The thing is, if you just do stuff and nothing happens, what's it all mean? What's the point? Oh, right, this whole thing is about self-acceptance.
Kicking the hell out of yourself doesn't give meaning to anything.
So I should stop judging and accept.
To start.
So no matter what I do, hooray for me because I'm a great guy. It's all good. No matter how many dogs I kill, I just want do an inventory and accept. What a load of crap.
Hey, Jesse, I know you're in pain.
No, you know what? Why I'm here in the first place is to sell you meth. You okay with that? You accept?
No.
About time.
That's Jesse in Breaking Bad. Now, what I think is really interesting about this clip is that his answer exposes the hollowness of this whole mentality that we have today. Don't judge. Now, refusing, in other words, to make a judgment call on what you believe to be right and wrong can lead us to just simply nod blankly at all these terrible things that go on. And I think having that level of moral discussion in a TV show is a really profound thing, particularly in a time that often says that making moral claims is oppressive because everyone's different and how can we know best? In fact, the AV Club, in its review of the final episode of Breaking Bad, went so far as to say that Breaking Bad has ended the anti-hero genre by introducing good and evil. So, you know, we may sympathise with our anti-heroes for their recognisable humanness, but at the same time, let's not kid ourselves that when they cross that line from good to evil, you know, they've actually done that. They've crossed that line.
Yeah, so despite our politically correct culture of not judging anyone or anything, we do all judge and we all do make judgments all the time, and so we should. Now, you haven't seen the end of the show, have you? How do you think it's going to end?
Well, in keeping with the way that the show has proceeded, it's going to end badly for Walt, and I think it should, really. He's constantly justifying his actions and, you know, talking him into this idea that what I'm doing is the right thing, or, you know, it makes sense for my life. And there's something that is quite delusional, really, about all that thing and the way that he can just skate over all the terrible things that he's done just because he's got what he thinks is a worthy goal. So moments in the show, like when he's doing that justifying, and also that scene with Jesse, indicate that the moral universe of Breaking Bad just can't let him get away with it. That's not to say, I mean, I do hope that he comes back to the good in some ways, but I've got two seasons left to watch, and I know that there's just, you know, further and further for him to sink.
Yeah, so in a sense, there's a longing for justice as well as redemption, at least for you, presumably for other viewers as well. I'm not sure we're going to get that from House of Cards. I fear perhaps not. But it does underline the kind of compelling nature of these stories and what they're getting at.
Absolutely. I think it's the logic of our stories and perhaps the human story more broadly. You know, this idea that we're sinking deeper and deeper in the mire into this mess that we've made for ourselves, and we long for someone to pull us out. What's clear, I guess, from these TV shows is that they really understand our problem. The solution is far from clear at the same time. But at least we can say that these shows bring morality back onto the agenda, front and centre, and it leaves us to grapple with the claims that these shows make.
Yeah, and that's a worthy contribution. You've been listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. For more on this topic and many more, go to publicchristianity.org.